Welcome, believers. This is Lucha Lowdown. I'm your host and El Jefe of this podcast, James Kincaid. With me tonight, as always, El Guapo Jeff Budd.
Hey, bro.
How's it going?
It's going well.
Excellent. We are going to be talking about the latest episode of Lucha Underground Season 3, which is titled Macho Madness. Overall thoughts on this one, Jeff?
This was a good one. Just because I thought the matches were pretty solid, and then I like a lot of the performers that were on tonight. And once again, Mil Muertes gets the Best Dressed Award, if nothing else.
Absolutely.
Sharp dress.
I completely agree with you, too. I thought this was a very strong episode of Lucha Underground, maybe the best of the Cueto Cup episodes.
Cueto Cup.
Yeah, I think it certainly had the best match of the Cueto Cup. To date, it had a properly done squash match within the Cueto Cup, and it had some kick-ass vignettes. It had great theming in terms of tribes. This episode really had a lot of good things going on for it. So, I'm thrilled to talk about this one. So let's jump right into it. Right off the bat, we started with Mil Muertes and Katrina in their little black temple they got going on in there with Katrina essentially demanding that Mil win the Cueto Cup, and basically, in no uncertain terms, kind of given her version of the Hulk smash kind of thing from the Avengers to him, just saying, go out and destroy.
Women always want something, am I right, Jim?
Yeah, absolutely. She wants that Cueto Cup. But with the flashback that they showed before this vignette started, it showed Jeremiah Crane, you know, saying that, you know, he beat the one that she loved, and she sort of scoffed, said that Mil's not the one that she loved, because we all know that it's me, James Kincaid, that she
I don't know if that's
loves.
Officially canon yet, but I am willing to entertain the fact that it, until they say otherwise, it is the official story, much
yes.
like we were talking about with the Santos Vampire film.
Yeah.
Is still somehow tied into this universe.
Until they say otherwise. It hasn't been debunked
Until they say
yet.
Otherwise, we have to operate as that being fact.
Yes, absolutely. So we don't know officially it's me, but it's me. I mean, come on. But they gave that flashback, and then it's here in this vignette where Mil Muertes says that, yeah, I'm going to go out and destroy everyone. I'll win the Cueto Cup for you, my love. And
Aww.
And it's just, well, it was just like, ooh, like my immediate thought was, Marty the Moth is not the only one who's has a bit of unrequited love going on in that regard. And then so Katrina, albeit I wouldn't say reluctantly, but we know it's reluctantly, you know, kisses Mil. And then we
don't know. I kiss people I don't love all the time. It's
well,
not, that
not like not like that. Well, never. Well, your point well taken, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. I feel bad for Mil Muertes because I, you know, when she said, that's not the one that I love. I was thinking, I was like, well, I don't know if Mil Muertes loves her either. You know, he's just, he's, I guess, kind of like the Mountain from Game of Thrones after he was brought back by Qyburn. I think he's just like this monstrous thing of destruction. But apparently he still has a heart, and he cares for her for some reason.
Yeah, he sort of walks that line. Like, I've never thought of Mil as being just this mindless blunt instrument.
Well, yeah, I don't
to
think he's
aimed.
Mindless. I always thought of the two of them sort of using each other and maybe even resenting each other
yeah.
to a certain extent.
Well, yeah, we've seen that before. I mean, he's, like, choked her and lifted her up and stuff like that. And, I mean, obviously she left for Phoenix for a period of time. So there has been, this sort of like fault line relationship going on with them before.
Well, I think we all know couples like that too. Sometimes the police have been called over, but
fair point. Good Lord. But no, I get what you're saying. I don't think that he is so like the Mountain from Game of Thrones that he is just like to be aimed, but I agree. It is this.
Really? Cause she said Muertes smash.
Well, I know tonight
I'm
she did,
kidding.
But normally not. I mean, he has his own goals and things that he wants to. I mean, when he won the title, it was him sitting there like Shao Kahn overseeing the temple and everything like that.
Well, I was going to say, I always thought there was a question of which one of them was actually in charge of their group anyway. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, obviously, she's sort of behind every strong man, there's a strong woman. It's like she certainly has, you know, a lot of power and, you know, is a manipulator. But then at the same time, he's the raw force. And then,
yeah.
Is it, you know, basically trying to achieve things for her desires, or is it achieving things for what he's aiming for? Because, yeah, like you said, he was sitting in the throne, but at the same time, she was running things like Dario
totally.
Cueto.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, they both were in a power position. Which one was in more power? Yeah, is kind of interesting.
I mean, I think at the end of the day,
she's the leader.
Absolutely. I lean towards Katrina and all of her power. I mean, she's the one that brought him back. It's sort of like a Unicron, Galvatron type relationship, I guess they have going on, maybe with the power split being a little bit more even. But even so, I love that dynamic with them. But this is the first time where other than when we were sort of recapping some early episodes when Mill laid a smooch on Katrina in the ring, which we discussed how, like, Katrina didn't seem like she totally appreciated it. But this time here, I mean, she's the one that went in for it. But this is, like, the first time where we've had him audibly say that their relationship was sort of beyond just that working one. You know what I mean? So I thought that thought that was interesting. That they went that route, and now we know Mill is in for some sort of, I don't know if he can be heartbroken per se, but he's in for some form of disappointment.
I see him breaking people's chests and, like, ripping out their hearts.
Yeah,
because he's not going to feel good about it.
Yeah.
I don't know what'll happen. Violence, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. But then it's sort of similar to the episode, the Family First episode, where we got Marty looking on. As Phoenix and Melissa were flirting with one another, here we got Jeremiah Crane in the background. Very similar.
So many creeps in the temple.
I love it, man. The creeps are some of the best characters, and this is going to be this is Jeremiah's best episode to date. I feel
he continues to just exceed expectations. This guy.
I'm going to lay this out. We're going to get to Jeremiah Crane a lot through this episode. But I have to come clean. I was not a fan of him when he was in NXT. He had this weird getup. I don't think they really utilized him properly. So I was skeptical. I hadn't really watched him on the independent circuit. I'd heard all these great things about him. But from what I'd seen in WWE and NXT, I was like, really? Like, I mean, this guy's just kind of goofy and everything like that. And then
also, a lot of guys get built up on the independent circuit. I mean, let's just be honest there.
There's
a lot of praise for anybody who isn't a part of the WWE.
That is very true. I respected the fact that, you know, he didn't like, you know, the direction that the WWE was sort of riding him in and pointing him in. So he left on his own terms and everything. Yep. And that's totally, like, that's righteous. That's awesome. And so then I hear he's coming to Lucha Underground, and it's like, you know, I didn't really dig his stuff. So we'll see how this goes. And his first debut vignette, he's like Ivelisse's new boyfriend. And he's kind of talking like this high school dropout, like, douche. And I'm just like, oh no. And I was trying not to be so negative.
Here at the Lowdown, we accept people no matter what their education status, though.
Sure. I was not a fan. And
college boy.
Thank you. I was not a fan of what he was all about in that first vignette and everything, or the first couple, I guess. But every time I've seen him since then, he has gotten better and better, and he has won me over more and more to the point where he's one of my favorites in the temple. I really look forward to his matches. I love his storyline going on with Katrina, which is something I absolutely did not see coming. And it's been a delight. So really, kudos to the Crane character and everything like that. And this certainly was his episode. This was his and Mill's episode, mostly Crane's, though, I would say. But overall, your thoughts on that whole vignette and just what we got going on?
No, I thought the vignette was solid. Like you, I really like Jeremiah Crane's story and how he's developing in the storyline. From something where it seemed like it was going to be very dead end as far as how he first joined the series was, you know, just as Ivelisse's new boyfriend came off as like a tool.
Yeah.
And then it turned out that there was a much deeper history as far as who he was in relationship to the temple and then other characters that we weren't really predicting him to be matched up with. So, yeah, it's very exciting to see where this is going. And he's a joy to watch in the ring.
Yes, he is.
So I'm looking forward to him further in the tournament. Without spoiling things, I guess, too much in this episode, especially with how I'm hoping Group C comes to a conclusion.
Yeah, and I think this whole development is just very interesting as far as how this is going to go. But we start after that, because that was mostly a Mil Muertes vignette. It was just a dash of Jeremiah there at the end. I thought it was great. So we have Katrina building up Mil to go out and win the Cueto Cup, and Mil drew Veneno in the first round, so we know this is going to be a win for Mil Muertes. Has to be.
Dude, all right, listen. I get weird though when it comes to like betting and brackets, because then as the match was starting and I'm watching it, I go, Spider-Man, title of the episode, Macho Madness. Wait a minute, who played Bonesaw in the first Spider-Man movie?
Oh my
Macho
God.
Man did. Wait a minute. It's like, you would have seen me frantically trying to change my bet if we were in Vegas. And I would have been doing it so confidently that it would have just caused this rift and this shift, and everybody would have been doing the same thing. And we all would have been out a lot of money on what is definitely an easy match.
There is no way. Ever. But I love your John Nash puzzle piecing there, like beautiful mind.
Well, it's like, and then what if Crane comes and interferes somehow? And then I was thinking Spider Tribe. Maybe this is going to, you know, sync up with Sexy Star somehow.
I mean, I love it. I love it. I, you know, again, like it's.
I'm just glad that I didn't think this through while we were doing the brackets.
Me. Yeah. Oh,
I would have looked like an idiot.
That would have been glorious if that was what you penciled in. But this, the one thing I'll say about this, the only thing I was in doubt, I was like, is this going to be another one of those Cueto Cup matches that they have go too long to sort of put over the tournament format and everything like that? And no.
Gil Mortis does not sell for others.
This was as one-sided a match, and I enjoyed every second of this match, too. This is exactly how a squash should be done.
No, and there's nothing wrong with a squash match here, you know, every once in a while, especially in the first round of a tournament. That's where it belongs.
Yeah.
Because not everybody in this tournament is created equally, let's face it. Not everybody has a fair shot.
I love Vampiro's terrible joke right off the start when they were talking about how little they know about Veneno, and then he's like, I know his mom, you know, Charlotte. And Stryker's like, oh, because of Charlotte's web. I thought it was great.
You know what, though? Maybe if Stryker sold a little bit better, maybe that...
You know what? Vampiro's owed a few, okay? That's usually,
fair enough.
That's usually Stryker's... That's usually a Stryker line. So, you know what? Vampiro doesn't go to that pitch very often. He's owed a couple. So, I appreciate it. You keep doing you, Vampiro. I liked it. My God, Katrina, though. She's looking just phenomenal. I don't know how it's possible. I think she gets hotter every episode. It's
otherworldly.
Just, it's ridiculous. Yeah. And, yeah, so Muertes, he squashed that bug. And, you know, it was a Reaper's Trident right off the bat, and just the beatdown. I loved how he did the choke slam. I thought that was sick, how he does it, and then right into the flatliner. And, yeah, that's how you should do a squash. And then again, Vampiro hitting rocks, because we got a lick of death, and I completely agree with what Vampiro said. As they were just watching the lick of death, Vampiro just says, you know what? I would take that beating. And I agree with them. Veneno might have lost in the tournament, but I think he won in life. That's what I'm saying. So, Mil Muertes is moving on. Jeff, your bracket's no longer perfect if you were to have been thinking about it.
Fortunately, I didn't overthink it, and Mil Muertes was still what I had, so I'm all right. I'm so glad we locked in these brackets ahead of time.
Yeah, seriously.
I would have recklessly destroyed everything.
Dude, that would have been hilarious too. I would have loved that just for going over on the show. It's like you're taking Veneno, and it's like, well, if you're locking in your pick, I will now tell you why.
My reasoning was sound.
I don't know about that.
Well, there was a reason behind it. We can at least agree on that.
I feel like let's talk about Veneno for a second. It's clearly, Cortez Castro, clearly in there. I don't know where we're going with him. I mean, he's under deep cover now. We haven't got a vignette from him for a while, so he's just been taking beatdown after beatdown. I think we've only seen him twice or three times.
I would have at least like a vignette after this where they could have explained what the hell happened, or he's like, oh, God.
Yeah, seriously. No, I want some follow-ups with that, because Captain Vasquez is an interesting character. Now that Lorenzo Lamas, Councilman Delgado, is dead, I mean, some pieces are shifting there. So hopefully we'll get that soon. But
when he comes back to life somehow.
I hope that too, man. Damn it. I want more of him. But we got to continue on with the Cueto Cup here. And so on the heels of Mil Muertes' beatdown of Veneno, we go into Paul London of the Rabbit Tribe taking on Vibra of the Reptile / Snake Tribe, depending on who you believe, the newly renamed Reptile Tribe. Yeah, it'll always be the Snake Tribe to us. Good-looking carrot that Paul London had coming down. This is a match that basically achieved everything that we've been talking about, you know, in terms of the theming of the tribes and how they should fight and everything like that. I think you even texted me, this is how rabbits should fight. So this was Paul London, the leader of the rabbit tribe, against the big heavy hitter of the snake slash reptile tribe, Vibora, who, again, is just such an imposing presence. This is a great matchup as far as just the contrasting size of the two characters, the contrasting tribes of them, and how they even fight. I thought this was a lot of fun, this match. What did you think?
This was a fun match, and yeah, not only how the match resolved itself, but even before that, just, yeah, Paul London's fighting style versus Vibora's. I mean, it was a lot of, you know, quick strikes and then getting away, and that's exactly how it would be. I also just like the idea of these two tribes being adversarial towards one another.
Yeah,
I just think that's just natural.
Yeah, I like that too. I enjoyed because Paul London still had his sunglasses on in the early going of the match, and he was like,
"So awesome, dude! Those are cool sunglasses."
He was doing like his like karate punches and kicks to Vibora on the outside, and they weren't really phasing him. And he like takes off the sunglasses just to make sure that Vibora is real, and then freaks out. That was tremendous. Again, they definitely go heavy on the drug overtones on commentary whenever the rabbit tribe are fighting. But I mean, they're a trippy tribe, and.
But I was also thinking, how realistic is that though? True, too. You know, as far as old tribes, and as far as their shaman, and you know that they would use hallucinogenics to basically speak to the gods. It's like, well, the rabbit tribe just does that more than the other tribes do. That's all.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm with you on that. I think, and I think Stryker's called Vampiro Shaman in the past, which is great. But also, I think the standout moment probably for a lot of people in this match is Paul London then grabbing his carrot and holding Cobra Moon hostage with it. I loved Matt Stryker just saying, "I can't believe I'm calling this." what did you think about that whole sequence?
You know. The rabbit tribe can get away with it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I understand how stupid that is. And I feel these are the kind of... That's exactly the time that Jim Cornette tunes into Lucha Underground.
Yes. That's exactly what...
And then
just
starts screaming and cursing at the TV and can't wait to do his next podcast so he can criticize it some more.
Invent some new curse words. But with the rabbit tribe,
it's okay.
It is. Yeah, exactly. They don't do it all the time. There's just... It's...
Yeah, Prince Puma is not doing that.
Yeah,
you know, it's like it's different when it's them.
Yeah, it's just providing a different flavor in this match, and you know, I wouldn't want him to do it all the time, but for this was a one time thing. It was fun. It was funny, and then you know you got the believers chanting "Save the Carrot" in appreciation of Paul London. And then the rabbit tribe appears and just immediately sort of run into the ring and then run right out of it. I thought that was just, again, the disorienting nature of the rabbit tribe. And that
Because you don't know if you're hallucinating either. You know what I mean? That's what's so great about the rabbit tribe.
Yes. And that led to, again, there was some more fighting on the outside between London and Vibora. And the rabbit tribe held Vibora's legs, so London got the count-out victory. What did you think of that? Now my bracket is no longer perfect, by the way.
As was mine, because I chose Vibora. But, like, we had been saying for weeks now, as far as we like the rabbit tribe fighting as a unit, London is the exception. He's the only one who I feel could fight either way. He can fight independently as the champion of the tribe, and then he can also fight, you know, in a trios match as well. And... So I thought if anybody would have success, it would be him. My only complaint is the winner of this match goes against Mil Muertes, and I would have loved to have seen Vibora go against Mil Muertes, just like we're going to get to see Cage go against Pindar.
Yeah, no, so, I agree.
I mean, so that would have been a real heavy-hitting match. The thing about this match with Vibora is it reminds me of the old introduction of, like, The Undertaker or Kane. You know, it's like, yes, he's lost a match, but he's... He didn't lose face or anything like that. It was a count out. I mean, didn't The Undertaker just not stop beating the crap out of Coco Beware at Survivor Series? Isn't that how he was eliminated?
I think so. So
it's exactly the same sort of thing. He's still just as imposing as he ever was, but we don't have to have him go further in the tournament, which is fine. Because if Pindar is supposed to be, you know, kind of this unstoppable reptile, and then of course Drago's still involved as well. I mean, their tribe is still very well represented. And it makes it so that the rabbit tribe wasn't a complete joke in this tournament, too.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I thought it was a good sort of upset as well to have in the tournament. And so, yeah, Paul London's moving on. Neither one of our brackets are perfect any longer. I was very sad to see. I thought I'd at least get through the first round. I was so cocksure I was that the opening rounds were easy to call, but I guess not. So there goes one for me in my tournament bracket. We're continuing on to the Cueto Cup, then leads to Taya versus Joey Ryan. And one of the things that jumped out to me, and this is something that I learned at Paley Fest too, is just how much Vampiro, how much respect and admiration he has for Taya as he was putting her over in the commentary, and just everything she went through, how she paid her dues in Mexico and everything like that. And just it is cool to hear just how much of that admiration he has, and just, you know, respects the work ethic of Taya. And it's great to see her thriving. It's great to see her back in the ring, because she'd been injured for a while. So this, I was very excited to see Taya coming back, which is why I picked her over Joey Ryan. I mean, Joey just has not had much in-ring success in Lucha Underground, and I don't think they're going to have Taya lose to him in the Cueto Cup here. So we both had Taya going over Joey.
No, I had Joey Ryan, and the reason for that was basically story-wise.
I did not realize you had Joey Ryan. I forgot.
I told you, this was one of those times where I thought it was kind of a toss-up. It could have gone either way, but I went with Joey Ryan because I was thinking he is an agent of Dario Cueto's, so I was kind of hoping that he would go a little further in the Cueto Cup. But much like you were saying with Cortez Castro, it's like we're not really getting much with that storyline.
Yeah.
Since they've introduced how the players are going.
All right. Well, Taya did prevail, and also a very quick match as well.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. I liked her refusing the lollipop, and then, dude, she was just slapping the crap out of Joey. But it was a pretty dominant victory for Taya here.
Yeah, it was.
But that's interesting. So as said,
but I'm hoping the next round of Group C fixes everything for me, at least, because I didn't choose either Joey Ryan or Vibra to make it on to the next round after that. So maybe Taya and Paul London could just lose then.
Yeah, it could. That's exactly what could happen. I was a little sad.
Or maybe Taya wins the Cueto Cup and I look like a real fool.
Could be. The next thing we got is Mil Muertes, another backstage vignette with Mil Muertes, him sporting a suit. Is he the most stylish man in the temple, Jeff? I think so.
Most certainly. Yeah, he has to be.
Yeah, he rocks the luchador and the suit look like Blue Demon did and everything like that. Like,
and there is no better look out there.
I agree.
I kind of feel like maybe I should wear a luchador mask whenever I'm wearing a suit, because it complements the outfit.
It really does. And I love, you know, I guess, not to get too bogged down in this, I appreciate his tie selection matching, you know, the sort of the coloration of his mask and everything like that. It's just
because you don't ignore the mask. The mask is still a part of the outfit. So you do need to color coordinate.
It's tremendous, though. It's great. I love Mil Muertes. I was thinking about this whole episode. I was like, dude, Mil is so cool. Like, it's just...
He is. But he's in a relationship with a woman who doesn't love him.
I freaking love Mil Muertes. Yeah, but we've all been there.
Oh, yeah, no. Maybe that just makes him cooler.
It might, you know. But, yeah, he's doing well. He's doing well. So, anyway, Mil
Bond... Well, he didn't do too well at the end of this vignette.
Well, yeah, that's true. Jeremiah Crane shows up. Is something that Marty did not do, as well. And he comes in to take out Mil Muertes. And I thought this was – so Crane is beating down Muertes. He surprise attacked him with a chair to the throat, essentially, and is beating him down more and more at the chair until Mil finally tumbles over. And he's just yelling, "She's mine." I mean, he's essentially taking out, like, all of the believers' frustration and jealousy that they have on Mil Muertes for us all. And he is beating the living crap out of Mil with a chair, and then he sets up the chair around his neck again and then takes another one and sort of hammers it down. Very stylized. I loved this. I thought this was very cool. What'd you think?
I liked it, too. It always kind of is weird to me if someone like Mil Muertes just sort of gets beaten down, but at the same time, it was an ambush attack, and Crane is really tough and has kind of held his own against him before, so it made sense.
I think this adds a lot of intrigue into the rest of the tournament, because Mil has been given this charge by Katrina to go out and win the Cueto Cup. He looked very dominant against Veneno, and everything like that. But now he has been given this brutal vignette-style beatdown, so I wonder how much that is going to come into play in his next match and everything like that. I mean, is he going to be just hurt and prevail, or what's going to happen? I mean, I've been starting to think about different things with that. Do you see this having an impact on Mills' run in the Cup?
No, because I think enough time is going to pass. And then I just feel Mills still has a few things that he needs to accomplish in this tournament before he's eliminated.
I think it does add a nice little wrinkle, though.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, I think it'll make the matches a little fairer. Remember, Mil Mortis is the one who kind of just walked right through round one. So it'll make it more competitive, I suppose.
Before we go any further, I do want to take a quick second to tell you, all the believers and listeners of this podcast, that we appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in to Lucha Lowdown. If you like what you hear, the best thing you can do for us is, one, tell your friends about us, because, you know, we're not paying anything for advertising, so we're going by word of mouth and all those great iTunes reviews. So if you could leave us an iTunes review, subscribe to us on there as well, rate and review us, that would be tremendous. If you like what you hear here at Lucha Lowdown, love interacting with all you believers. The response has been so positive. That's what keeps us going. We really appreciate it. We're having a great time doing this. Follow us on Twitter at Lucha Lowdown. One of my great joys is live tweeting the episodes with all of you and just having a blast doing that. So go ahead and get in on that and follow us at Lucha Lowdown. And that's one way you can get a hold of us. You can like us on Facebook as well, which I encourage you to do so. And if you want to send us a personal email, luchalowdown@gmail.com. If you have any questions, comments, any suggestions, things you want us to talk about, any sort of themed episodes when Lucha Underground goes on season break, we can do all those things. So thank you so very much, believers and listeners, for doing all that. And now back to the rest of the show. All right, let's get into now the latest Mundo versus Mysterio promo. I thought this one was the best one yet, and I've been loving these. What did you? Is this the best one in your estimation too, Jeff?
I was going to just say, yes, I agree with you. It's the best one yet just because it incorporates the other talent giving their impressions of both characters, which I really liked.
Yeah, so the talent that they had breaking this down, because like the narration, it's like, you know, that it turns all these other luchadors into spectators, which is a great line. And then we get Chavo Guerrero, which I loved under the lower third of who he was, said retired luchador. And I was just thinking, it's like, that better not be on Temple grounds because he's banned. But I do like that it's selling the fact that he got retired by Rey Mysterio. and, you know, he didn't come off like bitter Chavo Guerrero either. He was calling it like he saw it as far as that goes. Then we had Cage as well. Puma talking about it. Matt Stryker. Did I miss anyone?
No, I believe that's everyone.
Yep. Yeah. I loved this promo package. To me, I thought I think you'll agree that Puma was a real standout I thought they all did great, to be honest.
I was going to say, what I liked was, it was the final question, is they asked their predictions of who would win the match, and I thought everyone's prediction was also very much in character as well. Something that stands out to me was basically what Cage had to say. He chooses Mundo, and the first things he says are, Mundo is younger, Mundo is bigger, you know, and he's stronger.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's exactly what Cage would value.
Yeah, totally.
In another wrestler. He's bigger and he's stronger. It's like Cage can identify with that because that's exactly what Cage is. I also like that Cage brought up that he had defeated Mundo.
which is
good. I love that. I love the inner rivalries and the fact that, you know, Lucha Underground has a long memory as far as everybody's storyline and who's crossed paths with who. I thought that's why it was also important who they chose to interview for it, so that they had Chavo, who of course has a very rich history with, who has a very rich history with Rey. And then Puma, who is faced off against both Mundo and Rey.
Yes.
And then Cage, as far as his rivalry with Mundo. And actually no, I don't think he's ever fought against Rey, has he?
I don't think so. What stood out the most to me, and again, I loved all of them. I liked Matt Stryker, again, when they put that final question, and he's talking about how, to him, the heart of the champion is in the kickout. You know, it's the choice you make to keep going. I mean, it was typical Matt Stryker, just the word pictures that he can paint. Dude, that was a home run for Matt Stryker, just that the heart of the champion's in the kickout. and, you know, he's trying to be impartial, but you're going to hear the fan in him when he's calling the match and how great it's going to be. But I love.
Yeah, he'll look like a man in headphones, but he's actually that boy.
I love that. Just that idea that the true heart of the champion's not in your finishing move, not in the damage you inflict, but in the actual act of kicking out of your opponent's maneuver. And he's, you know, putting over the great rivalries like Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat and all this stuff, and how, you know, in all those things you had to weather every storm that your opponent could put you through and still come out on top. That was great. And I liked Prince Puma a lot, too. The edge in Puma's voice when he's picking Rey Mysterio almost begrudgingly, because he says, because he doesn't know how to lose.
Yeah.
Phenomenal stuff. This such a good, good promo package. I've been loving these as we go. It's made it feel so big. And I can't wait to see it. This shouldn't disappoint.
Well, yeah, it's being billed as a grand event, and it is a grand event because these are two phenomenal guys in the field right now. So it'll be a great match. I'm looking forward to it.
Same. All right, and from that promo package, we get into the main event for the evening of these Cueto Cup matches. Jeremiah Crane taking on Killshot. This is Group C of the Cueto Cup main event here in the first round. This, to me, is the best match of the tournament so far. What did you think of it?
I think you might be right, and it continues to go with that trend we were saying as far as this is a great season for Killshot because he's put together a string of phenomenal matches.
Second main event.
Yeah. I like both of these competitors a lot. I just felt as far as where storylines were going, it didn't really make much sense for Killshot to go further in the tournament. Because in order for him to go against his rival, Dante Fox, I think they both would have to win. Dante hasn't
It'd be
met
in the
yet,
final.
So Group D. Yeah, it would be in the finals. And I was like, it's not going to be Killshot and Dante Fox in the finals.
Yeah.
So I had a feeling that there was going to be some sort of interference just because Dante Fox really does not like Killshot.
Yeah, or maybe he really loves him.
Maybe that's
Could be.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows? Until
line.
We start getting some flashbacks, reminds me of David.
Thin line between love and hate. But, I thought this was such a phenomenal match. I mean, right off the bat, I mean, they just start out, you know, doing all these crazy acrobatic moves to one another, and it was so hard-hitting. And it was like, it reminded me of something that Marty the Moth said when we spoke to him, and that when they did the Weapons of Mass Destruction match, Vampiro pulled them both aside, said, you know, they're kind of giving you the ball here to main event Lucha. You know, you haven't done that yet. You know, don't drop the ball. They went out there and acted like they were incredibly motivated under that same thing. This was, again, your main event in Lucha Underground tonight. And boy, they pulled off a main event. I mean, the amount of hard-hitting strikes, like we were talking about earlier, watching Jeremiah Crane wrestle, he reminds me of Taz meeting, I don't know, some great striker wrestler. Like he could do the suplexes. He has a similar build of like Taz did, and even a similar look in his attire in terms of the WWE styled one. And just what he's able to do in there is just, it looks so good. I mean, I don't know how much, how snug he actually works in there, but it certainly looks good. And same with Killshot. And so this was a great pairing. I want to see them wrestle again. I mean, they went back and forth. Dude, that cannonball run that Crane did when he ran around the ring and then cannonballed Killshot through the chairs. Holy God.
That was excellent.
Yeah. And this is one of those things, too, that we both picked Crane here.
Mm-hmm.
And it made total sense that Crane would win. But as the match was going on, and this is something that Lucha Underground has the power over me, at least. I there were points in the match where I thought, that's it. Killshot's going to win. Like, I was biting on serious near falls. Like, and credit to them, too. I mean, they were waiting to the last possible second to even start kicking out. And when, like, Killshot hit the kill stomp, I mean, he had Crane right there in the ring. I thought that was it. But Crane kicked out. I was so blown away. I've watched it twice now, and I think I liked it even more the second time around. Just other thoughts on this one.
No, I think you kind of summed it up best as far as just the shots that they took against one another, the way they basically told the story, and then the fact that as much as we were confident that Crane was the one moving forward, it still looked like Killshot could easily have won this match. And then at the same time, you never know when it comes to Lucha Underground. Maybe they would have decided that the storyline with Mil Muertes and Jeremiah Crane goes a different route and doesn't get solved in the Cueto Cup.
Yeah.
Or maybe they have Muertes come out at some point, you know, all thrashed and beaten up and interferes and screws over Crane instead.
Yeah, no, completely right. And Lucha Underground shown the ability to throw plenty of curveballs in their time. I just, oh man, I was so taken with this clash. I really want to see them face off again down the line. I was brought out of my seat for that one. That was a lot of fun. The only knock on it, I will say, is so they did have Dante Fox show up and distract Killshot for the finish. I'm fine with a distraction finish. I just thought it came off a little weird with having him like so far away up in the temple as opposed to just have him come down to ringside because, you know, Crane had just taken the kill stomp pretty much and was still very much so in, you know, Killshot's grasp there, in his sights, if you will. And then Dante Fox's distraction, I feel like, should have been more distracting. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I guess that's a fair point. But, I mean, I'm not going to criticize them too much for that because I think that's more of a finesse thing.
Yeah.
And you could always say that just at this point, Dante Fox's appearance is a major distraction for Killshot. He has taken a lot of shots at him and been pretty vicious, so it's important that Killshot keep an eye on him.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I do think it could have been a little bit better executed. Just one final detail from this match that I loved is, I mean, they were throwing everything at one another, and the little thing that caught my attention, though, is, like, they would strike one another, go back and forth, and then at one point, Killshot then, you know, kicked Crane and then was going to go try and go off the ropes, and Crane just with like his last bit of energy like held on to Killshot's tights to like pull him back to him. I appreciated so much just the work and the thought that they put into this match. It was the best one of the Cueto Cup so far, so well done to both those guys. Jeremiah Crane is moving on, and then the lights go out, the lights come up, there's Katrina with that mystical stone. And Crane looking on, pretty much how I would be, salivating. He blows her a kiss. He blows her a very sloppy kiss with the saliva on his lips. And Katrina looking very bemused by him too. And again, just wow, inferno of hotness. I don't know.
Hey, she's dropped Mil Muertes for a stronger man before. Yeah. So if you best him in the ring, She's willing at least temporarily to jump ship.
I cannot wait to get more backstory of what's going on between the two of them. Because, again, what's swirling around in my head, when he pulled that sort of weird Ouija board, I forget the actual term for it, at least that's what it looked like to me, from Dario's office. I can just imagine, like, a very young Jeremiah Crane messing with these things and conjuring up Katrina or whatever. Maybe he's the one that freed her from whatever prison she was. I don't know, but there's any number of things that it could be. And I'm just excited to learn what it's all about. My mind is swirling. I want to see some flashbacks with them. What say you?
No, I agree. I'm looking forward to it as well. I don't know if he summoned her. I don't know if he knew who the girl was before she had become Katrina, and maybe she had become possessed by whatever this dark entity is. And so, you know, that's just more the mortal frame that she's in now. It could go a lot of different ways. We could both be, you know, worlds off of what it actually is. So yeah, I'm just looking forward to, Crane and Muertes hopefully meeting up against each other in the tournament later on.
And that is an interesting thing too, is that I would say if Muertes' next opponent was Crane in Group C, I would give the edge to Crane. But the fact that Muertes has to move on and then face Crane, I still think it looks looking like on track that Muertes is going to move on through there because he will have healed up from his wounds and everything like that. The only thing I could see an outside shot, if they wanted to eliminate Muertes from this tournament, of have him not showing up for his match with Paul London because of the beatdown or something like that. I don't know. But again, too much time is going to go by in between there, I would think. So, but that is, it is an interesting wrinkle in terms of Crane backstage attack on Mil Muertes, and very likely could end up with just Muertes destroying Crane. But, you know, who's to say? We'll see what happens. There was one final vignette, though, before we get out of here, And that was Dario Cueto being very excited about his freaking awesome Cueto Cup that he's put together here. And he should be stoked. Tonight was a great night for it. And he's talking to his final competitor, which if you look at your Cueto Cup brackets, if you're playing along at home, you will find under four question marks. and he's talking to him, and immediately you get the very striking silhouette of somebody that looks familiar. Looks a lot like Son of Havoc. And they're talking, and he's saying there's just one spot left. You're facing Son of Havoc. And he's like, you know, what is your name again, by the way? He says, Son of Madness. And where should Melissa bill you from? The open road. And then we get the full view of Son of Madness, who looks a lot like a bigger Son of Havoc. What did you think of this?
Oh, it would have been funny if you just said his name was Havoc.
Daddy Havoc. I was hoping that he was going to be like his dad. I don't know if it's his brother, I guess. Or I don't know.
I don't know what he. I don't know exactly what it's supposed to be either.
They're from
I don't
the
know
same biker gang?
Possibly. Yeah. Well, I mean, not or rival gang, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, they dress the same.
Yeah, that's true. Well, all bikers kind of dress the same, if you ask me. You got to look carefully to see the differences.
That's a fair point. Yeah. But it is as I expected that this is going to be where they finally meet. So we will see what happens there. I mean, we both have Son of Madness moving on. So
Because I know Lucha Underground is infamous for a guy's debut match he doesn't win.
Yes.
But I don't know if we can build a guy up this much and then not have him at least go forward through the first round.
Yeah.
After that, we'll see what happens.
Well, we will see what happens next week on Lucha Underground. That is going to do it for us tonight here at Lucha Lowdown. For Jeff Budd, I'm James Kincaid. Good night, everybody.